Our next segment is an interview with correspondent Jonah, recorded with Joe Paparone of the Labor Religion Coalition. Joe was an organizer of the recent Poor People's Campaign mass meeting in Binghamton and shares some of the history behind it, as well as the details of the ongoing movement for racial and economic justice.
So my name is Joe Paparone. I'm an organizer with the Labor Religion Coalition in New York State. We work with faith communities, labor unions, community groups, organizing on racial, social, economic justice issues. And we held we've held an annual conference for a number of years now, and ours was just last week. And this year we were able to do it in conjunction with a national movement that's growing, the Poor People's Campaign, which I can talk about a little more detail momentarily. So we were joined by the Reverend Dr. William Barber and the Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, who are the co-chairs of that campaign. So he recently stepped down from his position in North Carolina with the NAACP there to take on this Poor People's Campaign full time. So they've been doing a series of mass meetings around the country, and we were one of those stops in Binghamton.
Tell me about what the Poor People's Campaign is.
Yeah, so 50 years ago, on April 4th, 1967, Martin Luther King Jr. Gave a really famous speech slash sermon at Riverside Church in New York City called Beyond Vietnam. Highly recommend people check it out. And it was his first major public statement against the war in Vietnam, but it's also where he began articulating and identifying moving beyond civil rights into a broader human rights framework. I don't believe it was in that particular speech, but he had elsewhere referenced that the integration fight, which was important and critical. He said, I came to realize that we were integrating into a burning house. He sort of broadened his critique of the system overall. And that's where he first identified what he called the triplets of racism, militarism, and poverty. I think he said consumerism, but really that's what that was. He was challenging this systemic poverty. Later developed a more anti-capitalist, kind of framework around that. And so basically by the end of his life, he was, you know, full-fledged socialist by our standards, right? So he first identified that in 67 and began talking about what a Poor People's Campaign would look like. One, like I said, very similar to what I just described in North Carolina, you know, happening on a smaller scale, but crossing these race and class divides, identifying and following the leadership of poor people themselves. That's a real critical thing, especially in a lot of advocacy and activist circles where middle-class folks, better educated folks maybe come along and they feel like they've got all the answers about how to navigate the system and how to make change. But a real key organizing principle of the original Poor People's Campaign and this one ongoing, that's sort of a revival of that, is the agency and the leadership of the poor themselves, that they are the experts on poverty.
Well, and now King was assassinated before he managed to take part in the original campaign, isn't that correct?
That's right. A year to the day after he delivered that speech in Riverside Church, he was assassinated in Memphis at the sanitation worker strike. The campaign actually went ahead without him. In fact, he'd had a lot of trouble building a broader consensus around it. They were moving forward, but after he was killed, lots of groups said, oh, this is the last thing he was working on. We want to honor his memory. And money poured in. A lot of new people wanted to participate and launch it. And so there was, it was called Resurrection City with thousands of people on the Washington Mall in 68. And for a variety of reasons, including, you know, government police infiltration and co-optation. Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated in the same window that they were there, and he was a major supporter. Really just kind of knocks the wind out of the sails of any burgeoning movement. It rained a ton, which is just like brutal on morale, right? Especially when you're in like the literal swamp of D.C., you know, like that kind of knocks, like I said, the wind out of people's sails. But an interesting thing to think about is the kind of organizing it took to get thousands of people to DC to stay there for any period of time, right? They were coming from around the country. They took these different caravans.
Literally like mule and
right. The mule train was particularly famous, right? And then contrast that to today where you know, the Women's March, which is this incredible mobilization of people around the country, you know, started with a Facebook post, right? Like, and that's not to diminish that at all. Like, that's incredible. It's just to think about a different kind of deeper organizing and relationship connection. Like, what kind of relationship do you need to have with people? What kind of shared vision do you need to have where they're going to say, yeah, we're going to bring our people by car across the country and camp out in DC until, you know, so it's a slightly different kind of organizing mentality and approach that's really rooted in relationship, rooted in this shared comprehensive vision.
So tell me about the vision, that vision for the present day, the New People's Campaign, because I don't think there's a tent city in the works. So how is...
Not exactly, although there will be actions and some of that stuff is still being defined in DC, but the goal is to have mass action and 25 state capitals and DC over a series of weeks in the spring.
Mass action around issues of poverty, specifically.
Yeah, so there's no platform that, you know, some people might prefer that we had something like that at this point. It's still being developed in a sense, but we're sticking with the pillars, the triplets that MLK identified, and actually adding one of environmental destruction. Right, is this ongoing present crisis? So. The issues fitting under those four themes and how they intersect and relate to one another, as MLK described, and how we see and have learned since then, right? How all of those issues he identified are ongoing, continue to today, in some ways are worse, right? In many ways are worse. So that would be like the proto platform. Those are the pillars of the demands. But really, it's about building a movement to change the conversation about poverty and systemic racism and the war economy and how we address these issues to shift the political possibilities in a way that is responsive to actual people's needs, that really challenges the sort of concentrated power of our government figures, both at the state and the federal levels. So that's sort of the maybe part of the bigger vision in terms of the next year, right? And what those steps are going to look like. A real important thing to realize is it's not a celebration and it's not a commemoration of MLK, right? It's 50 years after he was assassinated, after the original Poor People's Campaign, and we should think of it as picking up the baton and moving that vision forward.
So let's take it back to the Binghamton meeting.
Yeah.
You were part of organizing that meeting and you were there from start to finish. Tell me what you saw.
What I saw was, I think, between 600 and 700 people packing a church in Binghamton, New York. And it was this sort of electric experience, and in a lot of ways. Reverend Barber himself is an incredible speaker, and I encourage everyone to check out his stuff. He's just an inspiring person individually, and the vision is inspiring. But I keep going back to it wasn't just him. Building up to this, the Labor Religion Coalition and partners around the state held a series of truth commissions on poverty. We held one out in Western New York, one in the Capital Region, and one in Long Island. And we invited people who are struggling with real issues of poverty to share their stories, to bring that before a group of commissioners, who then developed a report, right? We also heard from some advocates, you know, folks who are close to the ground to give a different analysis, like we hear from multiple people these kinds of things, right? They have an important perspective on this. A number of those people spoke at the event on Tuesday last week at the conference before Reverend Barber, and really in a lot of ways, like, we need to continually remind ourselves who the leadership is of this, right? That this is not, you know, Reverend Barber helped amplify their stories in a sense, and that's a good thing, but it's not like this helicopter movement bouncing around. It's actually rooted in local community. So we had a Fight for 15 worker, Elizabeth James. You know, she's been real involved in the Fight for 15 in New York. A woman, Jackie Bogart, spoke, who's part of the Food Bank of the Southern Tier, has this Speakers Bureau program where the folks who, you know, get services from the food bank partners are developing leadership and political analysis and advocacy skills and things like that. And they've got this really amazing program. They actually offered a workshop on how to do exactly that the next day at the conference that... From what I heard, a lot of people were really inspired by and want to replicate around the state. We heard from a gentleman from, it's called About Face, and it's formerly Iraq Veterans Against the War, to talk about the war economy, and a Binghamton activist who has done a tremendous amount of work on bail reform in particular, and prison justice, criminal justice issues in Broome County in particular. So those voices, they spoke before Reverend Barber, and I think it's really critical that we keep emphasizing who the real leaders are of this. I've been trying to figure this out since last week. There's something about the message, the vision of this campaign that feels different than other movements I've been part of. In terms of the vision, in terms of the inspiration, something about it invites people to their best selves while still addressing the historic oppressions that need to be dealt with, right? We're not shying away from actually addressing, this isn't some superficial, you know, all lives matter kind of thing where we all just come together in this surface way. This is like deeply addressing these things, but in a way that invites people into a deeper solidarity and action that they can take together.
Do you think that has something to do with the different atmosphere you're describing? Has something to do with it being involved with church groups?
A little bit, yeah. And I work with church groups a lot, and so there's a lot of variety in those traditions, obviously. And many church groups and faith communities fall victim to some of those more surface unity things. I think a lot of it has to do with, Reverend Barber is speaking from this Black civil rights Southern church tradition that is the public consciousness, the public face of the civil rights movement, right? Everybody there, whether it was true or not, like could imagine themselves saying, if I was around during the civil rights movement, I would have been a part of it, right? Even if that's not technically true, right? Like we know not everyone was involved in the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. We know there was a lot of opposition, but it's the thing that in the public consciousness is held up, right? As this thing, this morally, righteous movement. And people want to be part of that. And so now here's this opportunity. Here's the invitation today. And he's speaking from expressly that tradition, and that resonates with people, I think, in some deeper values as well. But then also getting into the specific values, recognizing that, the things that divide us are not as powerful as the things that can unite us. And I mean that, again, on a deep way, not like a surface, fake unity. I think that it's a challenge to people, but it invites us to a real deep solidarity with one another.
So what's next?
What's next? We are hoping to hold sort of regional workshops and, advancing, talking about the campaign. We want to continue talking about the Truth Commission report. We think that'll be a really important tool for organizing. We're still working out some dates, and it's in conjunction with our partners around the state, but we want to be holding a lot of different movement training and Poor People's Campaign visioning and workshops in terms of some basic advocacy and leadership skills, developing these small groups that are going to be able to take action in conjunction with the national campaign come spring.
And that campaign is a Mother's Day until...
The plan at this point, is that it would launch on Mother's Day, and I think the culminate June 21st, the solstice, with a large mobilization to DC.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
That was WOOC correspondent Jonah interviewing Joe Paparone of the Labor Religion Coalition. More information can be found at poorpeoplescampaign.com or on facebook.com/laborreligion.